I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.
This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Dig it, we're back and it's happening for a decidedly more sane and sober show than what you may be used to. Pizza Remba, my usual co-host, is out in Spain with his popular rock group, The Flesh Tones, entertaining the masses. So it's I'm flying solo today, but I am joined by an elite squad of geeks, blue ribbon geeks. It's a red letter day, in fact, for nerds. We're here with my good friend Kevin Mayer of Kevin Geeks Out, world-famous cabaret nightclub act.
Hello.
And with him is one of his Kevin Geeks Out All-Stars, Matt Hurwitz, going to join us today.
How you doing?
To talk about, I'm very excited about this. We've geeked out about many, many things. I want to use my Joe Franklin voice. Many, 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 many things. We've geeked out about wrestling. We've geeked out about ape movies. We've geeked out about shark movies. We've geeked out about space operas. I hope we're going to geek out about wrestling this year again.
I got to get it back on the books. Yeah, we missed it last year, and I felt bad.
I always feel bad, but such is the nature of being a Jew in the 21st century. But today we're geeking out about ripoff movies.
Yay.
And
yeah.
I'm excited about this. We're going to be talking about Star Wars ripoffs and King Kong ripoffs and Jaws ripoffs. And
what's great is at every Kevin Geeks Out show we've ever done, maybe with the exception of wrestling, you always find, if you're talking about a genre, you'll say, here's the biggest hit, and here's the biggest ripoff of that hit. So it's the sign of success. If you have a popular, successful, money-making movie, somebody's going to do a copycat film. Although I would argue that in wrestling, there are wrestlers who kind of steal other people's gimmicks. I would say The Missing Link was kind of trying to be George the Animal Steel AWA.
And Hulk Hogan was Superstar Billy Graham, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And probably we could start drawing intersecting lines of Macho Man Randy Savage and The Ultimate Warrior, but we're not here to talk about wrestling today. We are here to talk to geek out about ripoff movies. Why don't you tell us really what is a ripoff movie, being ripped off being the highest form of flattery after all?
There's the idea that a poet, you know, to base it in literature, a poet doesn't just become a poet overnight and find his or her own voice. They have to copy other poets. They have to study and mimic other people before they can find their own creative artistic voice. That's just a big thing in poetics. It's a great book, Retromania, that I read, really gets into this about how music is, you know, echoing and standing on the shoulders of previous artists. But with film, it comes down to marketing. And I think that's what I love so much is the intersection of the crass capitalism and marketing of trying to sell a movie, even if it is not necessarily, like, just before we started, Matthew and I were talking about that there are films that really aren't necessarily always, it wasn't intended to be a ripoff, but somebody's like, we could make a lot of money if we position it to look like it's supposed to be like the movie Alien.
Meatballs 2 was definitely planned as a ripoff of Meatballs, and then they were like, we can call it Meatballs 2. Let's just do that. More people will see it.
Because there's has nothing to do with the first
right,
one?
Right, totally unrelated.
But different crew.
Some classic examples I want to point to is The Asylum is a company where their bread and butter is big giant shark movies, CGI shark movies they sell to sci-fi as sci-fi original films, and then the other part of their business is very much taking, they find out what movies are coming out in the next year. They're going to be the big tentpole blockbuster movies. So Snakes on a Plane is coming out. They release Snakes on a Train.
Yeah, and those ones are kind of sneaky because they're actually just trying to trick you into thinking you're getting the movie you wanted. But with a minor misspelling, somebody's grandmother can easily make that mistake at the store.
I saw that on the video that you posted, like to convince someone to buy Transmorphers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And does that work? And people actually going to confuse it?
Well, I don't know. I don't know who's buying it. I don't know who's in on the joke when they're renting it. I think people are pretty media savvy these days. But I think the hard part becomes if you see an Asylum movie that it begins and ends with the title and the poster art and the font.
Sometimes it's extremely close. There's a ripoff of Terminator movies, which is just called The Terminators, because apparently the word Terminator isn't even trademarked.
But if enough time passes, it's like, okay, if you're going to do a Terminator scene, you're going to do the nightclub scene, you're going to do, there are certain, like, key moments.
Lady Terminator is one of the great Terminator ripoffs that
fantastic.
Gets all the beats from the original.
And ironically, not actually a robot. But that's a whole other story. She's possessed by a demon of some kind. Is that
right? It's like a Filipino movie or something.
While we're talking about this, I want to talk about some of my favorite ripoff movies, which are porn parodies. A reminder
absolutely.
Of rule number 34. We're going to be talking about this during the show, rule number 34. If it exists, there is a porn version of it, without exception.
Okay. Right.
And just so you know, the Terminator would be the Sperminator.
Gotcha.
Okay, but we're going to get to a long list of great porn ripoff star whores, of course. And
because there's... So you've got like the B commercial ripoffs. There's also a whole bunch of people now who do these kind of like Pixar and DreamWorks ripoffs. Like I sent Mike a link to Little Panda Fighter.
Right, the Kung Fu Panda ripoff.
There's one with a giant balloon and an old man in a balloon. It's called What's Up?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of those. Another one is international cinema. I'm sure we're going to end up talking about the Italian films, but there are some great Bollywood films where it's what I like about it is they customize it to their local markets so that you get a meaningful version of A Nightmare on Elm Street for the Bollywood community, for that, you know, for local cultures. Why do they change or retell the stories in a different way? In 3Dev Adam is a Turkish movie, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's Captain America, a bootleg Captain America teams up with Santo, the wrestler. It always comes back to wrestling, Mike, unavoidable. But what's interesting is Spider-Man's in the movie, so you're like, oh, so it's like the Avengers, these three guys team up. No, it is Santo and Captain America fighting Spider-Man, who is the villain, who is a sadistic crime boss.
The Turkish knockoffs are so good. Have you ever seen Turkish Star Wars?
I have seen some
because
of it.
They literally rip footage from Star Wars and John Williams music from Star Wars and Indiana Jones, because they clearly thought no American was ever going to see Turkish Star Wars. We can just swipe the
actual
footage.
Right, because in 1985, that, you know, pre-internet, you could get away with a lot
but
more.
One imagines the arm of George Lucas is very long and casts a long shadow. Let's talk about some of my favorite categories, these ripoff movies, and someone. We have a couple trailers queued up we can listen to. I think we should listen to the movie Ape.
Okay.
Okay, a great King Kong ripoff.
This was South Korean-American co-production that they found out that Dino De Laurentiis was remaking King Kong, so they rushed into production to make Ape, A-P-E, with little asterisks in the middle, because I guess then it's borrowing from Robert Altman's MASH.
Right, and we have 70 years past the original King Kong. I almost forgot about the De Laurentiis production of it, which I guess I should probably go back and watch. But I love all these ape movies, the ones that, you know, when I was looking at ape ripoffs, there always seems to be a scene where an ape is holding a woman in her hand.
Holding a blonde woman.
You got that queued up there, Dave, for Ape? And this is a Korean production?
See, 10 tons of animal fury leap from the screen.
It tells you, the trailer tells you, see. It tells you what you're going to see. So a giant ape rampaging a city.
See, ape.
And they say ape is 36 feet tall. How long was Jaws? Because it says right there in the trailer that the ape fights a shark. Yeah. So they work in a little Jaws ripoff.
Monster reptile.
30 feet and 3 tons on him.
And a python.
I'd like to point out for our radio listeners also that there are French subtitles in this trailer.
That's the thing. They're international movies.
Well, I love when we get to the Sharks ripoff. There's actually a guy who speaks with a kind of a Scottish brogue. He's supposed to be the Shark character. Somebody somehow became a Scottish brogue.
It's Vic. Well, we'll get to that. Embrace of 36-foot
monster. 36-foot
monster.
That doesn't sound like a lot.
The other thing I love about
it's not until you wake up and see one, you know, walking out the door with your girlfriend in his hand.
The other thing I love about the Ape trailer is that text on screen says, not to be confused with King Kong. No, I'm pretty sure it is to be confused, but I guess legally they had to say that. They had to put it on the poster. And the other thing I love, it's in 3D. So I love that the ripoff movie is one of the things they do. It's like, okay, we can't just rip this thing off. We have to somehow outdo the original. Let's do King Kong in 3D. So it was a 3D production of.
So which ripoff movies do we think are actually better than the original? Where have we got to the point, like I said, when it stops being a ripoff and begins to be its own genre? Earlier we were talking about Nazi zombie movies, and he's like, oh, well, Dead Snow, is that
yeah,
the first
I feel like Dead Snow is standing on the shoulders of
Shockwaves.
Of Shockwaves.
But
absolutely.
Is every Nazi zombie movie a Shockwaves knockoff?
We're going to have to. I'll come back around Halloween and we'll do a whole episode about Nazi zombies. I think that's a hard one because it's rooted in history more than anything else.
If you ask
and it
George,
is a work of fiction.
I mean, is every movie that, you know, about it takes place in a cabin in the woods, you know, a ripoff of those early 80s slasher
Evil
movies?
Dead, yeah. Well, if you ask George A. Romero, every zombie movie is just a ripoff of Night of the Living Dead.
Well, every Night of the Living Dead movie is just a ripoff of the one that came before it. I think, you know, that's a ripoff. Here's a ripoff movie. It was the last six Star Trek projects. Star Trek, Star Wars. Well, not to mention the Star Trek projects. I think Star Trek actually holds up a little better. But those Star Wars movies, I find them terrible. It was like, gee, just remade Star Wars.
But it's also coming from a place where George Lucas couldn't get the rights to Flash Gordon, which is why he made, you know, like, there are some. Spielberg has probably been ripped off. And as far as American blockbuster movies go, Spielberg has probably had some of the most ripoffs of his original work. But Star Wars, Raiders of the Lost Ark, so many of these things are throwbacks to his own childhood of the serials he would watch. So he was kind of doing this sort of postmodern pastiche of recreating something that they weren't entirely wholly original works. So it's really tricky to say that if somebody's ripping off Star Wars is
a ripoff of serials, Flash Gordon, yeah, and Indiana Jones, similarly, 30s and 40s serials.
But they didn't get
that Kurosawa picture. I mean, but I guess, that's okay. What else? I mean, some of these things are, well, geez, I mean, it's all Shane. It's all, you know, here are the homesteaders and the evil railroaders, and the violence is justified. We got to chase them off. I mean, it's.
You could argue that all cinema is ripoff cinema if you go back far enough.
6,000 years, I'm talking, you know.
And that's why I would really say that this is about where art meets marketing, and that it's how stuff is being marketing, how it's being sold, how it's being presented to the public as a very particular type of commodity, that things are aggressively being positioned.
And there's a sense in some cases where, like, the supply, other people are supplying the demand because the filmmakers who made Gremlins, let's say, weren't jumping on the, you know, to make Gremlins 2 right away. So in its void, you had Critters and Ghoulies and maybe not Hobgoblins, but a few other, you know, of the same.
Yeah.
I just
Elves.
Like to go back to rule number 34 for a second, and Steven Spielberg porn parodies. Shaving Ryan's privates. Okay, that's all. That's all.
Okay,
I got.
Yeah, that's inevitable. It's inevitable.
We're going to play the game. We got a lot of things here. I mean, we could play the game now if you want. Tell me which of these are not porn movies.
Okay.
Lord of the Rings.
That is a real film.
Iron Man. They should be, though.
No.
Toy Story.
Non-porn.
No, these are all real movies. Free Willy.
Non-porn.
It's actually both. It's a trick question.
Okay.
Malcolm in the Middle. I do love porns. Of course, my favorite porn title today is Jurassic Pork. We were talking about that. There are a lot of Jurassic dinosaur ripoff movies.
There's actually been kind of a golden age of porn ripoffs recently, because in the old days they kind of would pun on the title, but now you just see, like, that's not Three's Company, and
right.
That's not Back to the Future, Triple X.
That's coming out of Larry Flint's production thing. He's a guy there, and that's his whole thing. All right, let's move on to sharks, one of my favorite topics.
Mm-hmm.
Dave the Engineer, you got a Sharks trailer. Can we let that roll, too? Because this is great. I love that the shark takes down the helicopter.
And now listen to the voiceover guy. It's Percy Rodriguez, who did the Jaws trailer.
Is a quiet, peaceful summer resort. But Port Harbor has been invaded by the ultimate predator, the great white shark.
I'm a shark all over the world. I've never seen anything like it in my whole life.
And that is Vic Morrow doing his Quint, because Vic Morrow had a whole second career in Italy doing these knockoff movies.
Shark, right? It has to be. The hell it is! There are bodies out there, and more to come if we don't end this thing.
Great White, the most terrifying motion picture of 1982. Great White, rated PG.
So the story goes that Great White was intended to be this big, they spent a lot of money as far as one of these Italian ripoffs go. We were talking beforehand about how complicated it is when you take on a Jaws ripoff.
Yeah, pre-CG, you got to build a big puppet and get it in the water.
So you face all the challenges that Spielberg faced for directors who might not be as inventive or have the budget. So they spent a lot of money on this thing. They wanted to have their big international release, and then Universal Studios sued them after a week of playing in the U.S. They said, nope, not allowed. Pull it. If you talk to people our age from other countries, they're like, oh, yeah, I know The Last Shark or Great White or whatever it was released as in their country. And that other people know it as a big blockbuster movie that just never played in America.
Well, you mentioned Dino De Laurentiis earlier. Didn't he do the first big mainstream Jaws ripoff with Orca in like 77, I want to say?
Yeah, and at the time you looked at it, that's right, because, okay, we had a saw shark, now we got a whale.
Well, the first one theatrically, the first ripoff was a year later in 76. There was a film called Grizzly.
Yes.
And Grizzly beat for beat his Jaws. They went into production without a finished script. They knew we've got our character types. There's the forest ranger. There's the bear. There's the guy who won't close the park. Well, there's the Quint figure who's a Vietnam vet, and then there's the bear expert. But what's remarkable is the original title of the film was not Grizzly. Mike, can you guess? Pause. And Universal is like, there is no way you are calling this film Pause. So they made Grizzly.
Universal was very litigious. Weren't they going to try to stop Corman from making Piranha?
Yeah, but Spielberg got the joke that it was a parody of Jaws, so he allowed it. Just one last thing about Grizzly. So Grizzly could not be called Paws, but somebody made a ripoff of Grizzly called Claws.
Wow.
C-L-A-W-S, not Claws like Santa
I
Claus.
Love Kevin Geeks Out so much. Just to remind everybody who's listening, we can see you live coming up right here in the County of Kings, Brooklyn. Where
yeah, we're going to be doing two shows in Brooklyn at the Alamo Draft House on February 1st. And before that, we're going to be at Nighthawk Cinema on Thursday, the 26th. Go to kevingeeksout.com to get all the details. And we just posted the trailers. Thank you for putting the trailer online.
It's fantastic. Your trailers are always great. There's like this crazy E.T. Turkish ripoff E.T. and all this stuff. I wanted to also mention my line of specialty, and also sort of I have some good news. It's sort of an unofficial announcement.
But
I'm going to be publishing. I'll make an official announcement soon, but next year there will be a new updated and revised version of my book, Dirty, Dirty, Dirty.
Fantastic.
Which is about the history of sex on the newsstand, about Hugh Hefner and my friend Al Goldstein and a few others. But I bring this up. The relevancy here is Myron Fass, one of my favorite magazine publishers of all time, Erie Publications. But he was also the king of the knockoff. So when the UFO thing came big and Close Encounters was a big movie, he did Official UFO, UFO Confidential, Ancient Astronauts, Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, Fourth Kind, and Sixth Kind. These were all different magazines. Mm-hmm. His idea was, if it sells, do another one. If it doesn't, just move on. And over the course of his career, I mean, there were literally thousands and thousands of titles. He did, for Jaws, he had Jaws of Horror, and then he did Jaws of Blood. Those were two magazines that he had for a while. And he did a heavy metal magazine, remember the great comic book, called Gasm as well. And he did a lot of porn magazines, too, my favorite being Flick, which when you look at it, looks like fuck.
Oh,
it
was fantastic.
Some genius typesetting. He also did tons of like rock and roll knockoffs of like Cream and Circus and Rolling Stone. They all look vaguely the same. He had a magazine called Punk Rock, which was a knockoff of Punk.
Yeah.
And the great thing was, the same people that put up Punk Rock, the same month they were working on Acid Rock, the hippie magazine, and they all look really authentic. I mean, the Acid Rock is Jerry Garcia, and everything is lysergic and dripping, and the Punk magazine looks like a ransom letter. And, you know, it's done by the same people. And it was just, you know, and if it sells, keep doing it. If it doesn't, let's just move on to the next goddamn thing.
I feel like it's a lost art form. Is there anything you can think of that today is the equivalent of glossy cover and then, like, newsprint on the inside? those kinds of
down
magazines.
And dirty. Well, I mean, these, you know, these, what are these movies? I mean, they're, I mean, some of these movies take a budget. I mean, look,
yeah,
making a movie costs money.
Oh,
even if it's a bad movie,
yeah,
it takes a month and 45 people, and mm-hmm, you know, movies are expensive to make, and yet
but
someone felt the need, you know, to make all these King Kong apes movies, and Lord knows how many shark movies.
Well, the Star Wars ripoffs could be pretty extravagant. I mean, you had, what, Star Crash, which is has, like, stop-motion animation and forced perspective.
I only saw Star Crash for the first time this year, and I really enjoyed it. And
it's
a lot
of fun.
I like that it is so different from Star Wars. It borrows visually, you know, there's a big light-up, light-green lightsaber.
And De Laurentiis, again, the Flash Gordon official movie was not a cheap undertaking. It's very extravagant.
Flash Gordon's fantastic. And we have the trailer, I think we have queued up also for Flash Gordon. We should play that.
Oh, Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon.
This is from 1974.
We are in big trouble. You've heard about it. You've read about it. Now, finally, you can see it.
It will be a dangerous trip, and I don't know what we're likely to encounter out there. But someone has got to save the Earth from the treacherous clutches of that evil ray.
Sure. Why not? We'll give it a try.
Blast off with Flesh Gordon in his cosmic crusade against all evil.
Mike, was this like the first mainstream porn parody? Of that
most remarkable. That's a very good question. I can't think of anything else. Gordon. That would have been like an X-rated movie. It is rated X when it came out. I mean, it seems tame now, but it's not a porn movie the way we think of porn movies now, with a lot of gynecological close-ups. It's really, it's fun. It's a parody. It's a guess.
Save the Earth from the incredible sex ray.
It's so strange in here.
Incredible sex ray.
Flesh, it almost looks alive.
Flesh Gordon. The preposterous. Be swept away to the dazzling heights of astonishment as you enter worlds unknown.
I'm Prince Precious.
Do I get to come
right
at some point?
What is it? A boar! It's opening!
Join Flesh Gordon as the crafty Emperor
Wang. I'm watching Dave the Engineer in the booth. It's like, this is the moment he's turning into. He's becoming a man right now. He's wondering how he didn't even know about this.
Look!
Outrageous parody of yesteryear's superhero.
It's the eighth wonder of the world.
And that's the interesting thing. It's yesteryear. It's like there's. It's been.
Not to be confused with the original Flash Gordon.
Not to be confused. And then a little xylophone at the end. It is interesting that it was not like finger on the pulse. Flash Gordon is so hot right now in 1974. We need to bring it back. It was a nostalgia porn parody.
You could say that Star Wars was, in fact, a ripoff of Flesh Gordon.
Star Wars was like a cowboy movie. Also, I mean, basically, Star Wars was all these things. It was, like I said, it was Hidden Fortress. But it's Shane, you know? It's the evil bad guys versus the innocent homesteaders, and we want to see him overthrown. I mean, they have a great heel. That's what Star Wars benefits from, of course.
Yeah.
There's a great heel, like any great movie like that, like Jack Palance and Shane. I mean, you need a great heel.
But I, you know, what I love
the gun.
What I love about this is
I love Jack Palance in the Tim Burton Batman movie.
Makes sense.
Speaking of ripoffs, I mean, there must be so many Batman ripoffs, superhero ripoffs. But I think Tim Burton. What he does. I mean, ripoff movies. Larceny and Tim Burton at this point should be synonymous.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about Planet of the Apes before. I mean, does anybody even remember his version of it?
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. Or Willy Wanker and the Chocolate Factory. Going back to rule number 34. I did want to throw out a few more of my favorite porn parodies.
The
Da Vinci Load.
But to go back to what's fascinating about Flash Gordon, I'd never thought about this before with Flesh, is that it was an adult movie made for people who grew up with Flash Gordon as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the slowest slow burn of a porn parody, that it's not like, because the problem is it's you have no emotional attachment to, if you go see, I'll give you one, if you go see Sperms of Endearment. Is that a real one or is that a Simpsons one?
Yeah.
I know they did it on The Simpsons because James L. Brooks worked on both. But if you see a movie that just came out a year ago, you have no emotional attachment with it, as opposed to if you grew up, you know, these people who talk about, oh, Ghostbusters, the new remake is ruining my childhood. Are there people who, like, I grew up with Flash Gordon, it was on TV in the 50s, or I saw the serial in the 40s. They grow up and then can see this adult movie that they wouldn't have seen at the time, that they have a stronger emotional connection. Because I feel like so many of the things we would call knockoffs today are these marketing schemes of having an emotional connection to properties that existed 30 years ago, and that, like, oh, you'll go see Transformers and you'll bring your kids to see it. You'll go see the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and bring your kids.
Yeah.
Like this cross-generational, the phrase I've heard is the Lego sequel, you know, kind of the reboot sequel.
I hadn't heard that term until you mentioned it today, and I wish I'd never heard it, because soft reboot is a bad enough phrase to describe.
Yeah. I just feel like we're living in a time when, like, when don't I go to the movies and walk out saying, gee, that was a ripoff?
Mm-hmm.
I just feel really bad. Everything that's been rebooted and copied, and there's no fucking original ideas. Here's a good story. Some more porn stuff for you in the science fiction realm. Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Take It Up the Ass. Honey, I Fucked the Kids. Das Booty, I love that. AI, Artificial Insemination. 2001, A Face Odyssey. I don't even get that. I could have done better. One of my favorites, Logan's Come. Yeah, exactly.
Actual sound effect used in the film.
Wow, so much to talk about. So many ripoff movies. We haven't even talked about Animal House. We're running out of time. It is, as always, the fastest 30 minutes on the internet today. Before we go, let's talk about Animal House and frat ripoffs.
Well, if you talk about, like, sex comedies as a bunch of horny guys trying to get laid, that's pretty generic.
That's a story as old as man trying to get laid.
Yes, but specifically for Animal House, I always think of King Frat, which came out, like, a year later. It has that Mad Magazine-style art on the poster with a bunch of guys in the house.
If anybody get access to Google and type in King Frat, you'll see that they actually traced the Rick Meyerowitz artwork of the poster to show the composition of all the guys in front of the frat house. But what's interesting is the actual film involves a farting contest, so the name King Frat is actually a very clever anagram for King Fart. So it's a smarter movie than you might give it credit for.
I love it. Tell us again one more time where we can come see Kevin Geeks Out.
Kevin Geeks
and
Out.
And when are you going to go national, buddy? I mean, this is a thing. You've been doing it for a long time. I feel like you've been working here locally.
Talk about ripoffs. I'm showing clips from movies that the show would get shut down. I'm charging money to see clips of movies from 20 different studios. So I can only take it so far.
Yeah,
but
just wait,
if
when,
you're in the Brooklyn
when
area,
Istanbul comes a calling.
Yeah, come to Nighthawk Cinema. We do a show every month at Nighthawk. This one is going to be Thursday, January 26th at 9:30. We've got a great lineup where Tenebris Kate's going to join us. Jamie Rigetti is a horror writer. She's going to talk about horror ripoffs. Scott Roseanne's doing James Bond ripoffs at the Alamo Show. The Alamo Show is Thursday. This is why it's so hard to do two shows a month. It's Wednesday, February 1st, Scott Roseanne is going to talk about James Bond ripoffs, the one that was made with James Bond's brother.
Oh, 007, was it?
I think that's
Operation Kid Brother.
And Bill Scurry is going to be there talking about Tarantino ripoffs. Tenebris Kate is going to show us the Turkish Spider-Man, which is absolutely, you have to see it. And I would argue that sometimes seeing the cut down, the 5-minute cut down of these movies is more fun. And Matt Glasson's going to join us. He's been at a bunch of Kevin Geeks Out. He's always awesome. He's showing 2019, The Fall After the Fall, which is simultaneously a mashup of a Mad Max ripoff and an Escape from New York ripoff.
That's a great one.
It is not to be missed.
There's so much to talk about. We're going to have to come back and talk about this some more.
Yeah,
because,
go to
we have it. I mean, with the James Bond stuff, I mean, I was about to talk about Matt Helm. And why didn't they just get Dean Martin to play James Bond
to
call it a
right?
day? Because how good would that have been?
So you can check out the trailer at KevinGeeksOut.com. And our friend Matthew Hurwitz, one of my favorite writers on film, VideoFugue.com. Once we wrap, we'll talk all about Batman ripoffs, and the Batman porn is getting like a 2K restoration. They found and discovered a nice looking print of the Batman porno from the 70s.
Batman, so that's and Robin?
I don't even know the name of it. I think it's just like the Batman porn. It's just like a Repo Man generic black text on a white label, the Batman porn.
Well, we didn't even get to talk about When Harry Ate Sally, the Texas Dildo Massacre, and a great King Kong, King Dong ripoff, Mighty Joe Schlong. And this one is on my list, Gilligan's Asshole. I love it. Like, you know, sometimes I think the least thinking that goes into this, the funnier it is. You know, you don't want to overthink these things too much. Anyway, it has been the fastest half hour on the internet.
It really changes the meaning. Are they gonna get off the island?
And when the Harlem Globetrotters show up, oh,
forget
boy.
It.
Battlestar Orgasmica?
That's
Missionary Impossible? Gonad the Barbarian? It doesn't stop. Harry Potter?
Presumably it's like the Bronx Globetrotters show up in the porn parody.
All right, we're going to leave you with a little bit of disco from the era. but not from Saturday Night Beaver. This is actually the Close Encounters theme, disco style. It's Arts and Senses of Seizures. I'm Mike Edison for Dave in the booth and everybody at the Heritage Radio Network, and of course our sponsors, Heritage Food and Roberta's. We'll see you next week coming live out of Bushwick.
Listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat and Three is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York, and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat and Three.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah. And my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.